Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Loads of you talking about the rural relocation idea. Someone says, Ciara, we've our own people to house here in the country. We don't need any more tubs. Already our county, Wexford, is overpopulated. Lads, you can't be saying that. Half of Dublin is populated by people from the country and it is grossly overpopulated compared to rural Ireland. So it has to be a two-way stream, surely. Someone says, seriously, I had to move from my lovely life in Dublin because I could never afford to buy a house in Dublin or rear a family there. My career opportunities have diminished greatly, but we have a lovely detached house in Mayo and our mortgage is $850 a month. I remember a news clip where they asked a homeless woman in a hotel why she refused a free house in Talla. She was from Blanchardstown and she wanted to be near her ma. Hardly for child-minded purposes. What a farce. Makes me sick. Yeah, there's a bit of nonsense there. I mean, some people have gone to Australia to give their family a life. So I don't think we can say that Mayo is, out of the bounds of possibilities. And someone else says, Ciara, recently on News Talk, I was listening to a lovely Pakistani man who was running for office in Ballyhadreen. He was saying there was 100 houses there in a ghost estate, 90% completed. He'd love if more people came to the town to reinvigorate it. Would this be something that would work? That sounds like a great thing. And I know who you're talking about. I think he's a barber and he is running for the local council, and fair play to him. Loads of you getting involved, but we're going to move on to something else because Jonathan Kearns did not start jogging till he was 46. And he says, if he can do it, anyone can. And he has written a new book as a guide to inspire any would-be runners. And it is called The Plant-Based Runner. And he joins me now to talk about it. Jonathan, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ciara.
The Plant-Based Runner, I'm very interested in this because, to sort of cut a long story short, you got to the age of 46. Things were not in a good place for you. You were getting divorced. You were a good bit overweight. You were not happy in yourself.
That's right.
And you felt the need to do something. What made you choose running?
Well, at the time, I had very little control over anything in my life. My relationship had gone to court and we were kind of dividing up time with the children through judges. I'd gone bust previously and like a few months before, and everything was falling apart. So I didn't feel like I had any control. And running was something that I could do from my front door within seconds, so I couldn't talk myself out of it. So it was easy. I didn't have to pay any fees. I didn't. And also I was very self-conscious at that time because I felt huge.
So you didn't want to go to a gym with all the gym bodies there and all that stuff. Yeah, a lot of people would recognise that story. And I have to say, I do agree with you about running and walking. I like the accessibility and the freeness of them, that you just put on a pair of runners and out you go.
Yeah.
So you started doing, and I presume you didn't expect it to change your life. It was just one of those, I better do something good because everything else is bad, essentially.
That's right. And it was because a lot of the time I didn't know what to do with the frustration that I had. So running took the edge off me and it kind of made me feel better. And after a while, when I got used to, running is probably an overstatement. It was kind of jogging and huffing and puffing and walking.
I am that huffy puffy jogger. I hear you.
But eventually I started to get headspace and I started to feel good. And then I started to crave it and look forward to it. And the frustrations of any day then were always better when I came back from a run.
I totally recognise everything you're saying. And I do the 100 days of walking. Today is day 70, everybody. Keep going. And I, for the same reason, I think the headspace it gives you to get out and have a little bit of time on your own meditatively, whether it's running or walking, is really, really good. How quickly did you recognise that the running was having effects on you, maybe a bit more than just losing a bit of weight or more than maybe just improving your fitness slightly?
Oh, within weeks, like within 3 or 4 weeks. When I started doing it 3 times a week. And that was a commitment I made to myself. So no matter how badly I felt, I wouldn't discuss it with myself until I came back from the run. So after 3 or 4 weeks, I started to feel different. Like I started to think clearer. And everything about me changed. I felt brighter. So I kind of felt a bit more optimistic and a bit in control. Whereas before I felt like I was just free falling almost. And it was a great feeling, like to get back.
You obviously changed your diet too, because that's what the plant-based bit refers to. So you went off meat, you were now running, and they neither, I mean, I presume you weren't running all day every day. So maybe going for a run for a half an hour or however long you run for, that was a small portion of your day that you did something positive with. And maybe your diet changing, you know, it's not that radical. Loads of people nowadays are vegan or vegetarian. But those two things, did achieving on those fronts I suppose what I'm asking you is, do you think changed your mindset so you felt better able, having maybe lost your way in work or in your relationship? Did achieving on those fronts allow you to feel it was possible to achieve on other fronts? Because that's something I know a lot of people who run talk to me about, that that knowing that they were in charge of their running, knowing that they could do that one thing, empowered them to feel able for other stuff.
Yeah, it gave me confidence in everything. It gave me confidence in myself. And once I started changing what I ate, I started to feel much better. Now, combining the small changes that I made in the beginning with eating with the small amount of exercise that I was doing, it made me feel really good about myself. And I kind of felt, for the first time in a long time, I felt super.
And then from there, Jonathan, were there knock-on effects? What else? What sort of snowballed from throwing those pebbles into your pond and them sending out ripples? What other thing changed from then? Because obviously your relationship had, you know, gotten, I think it's as you describe it, the courts, you know, dividing up time as your kids through courts is a miserable place to find yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also your business having gone, it's very easy for people in those positions, and I'm not for a moment putting this on you, but people feel that they have personally failed in some way in their lives and that eats away at them. What changed for you then? Where did you go from the running? What did it spawn?
Well, it changed everything because once I started to feel good about myself, I started to focus on the positive. And once I focused on the positive, everything was different. Like I looked at what I do have, what I had in my life, which was I still had my three fabulous kids. I didn't have them as often as I wanted, but then my whole focus was to be present there for them. So as long as I could feel good, feel fit and healthy, I could run around with them, I could throw the frisbee.
So you could enjoy your time with your kids. That improved.
Yeah, that was my focus.
What about work? Did that change?
It did, yeah. Everything actually changed because once I focused on the positive side of me rather than moping around, and it was kind of like a cloud had lifted from me. So everything I did then was better. So I actually realised I started to smile more, and I realised that that's the person I used to be, but I just had lost it somewhere. So it actually changed everything.
So are you now somebody who is a born again runner? Do you know what I mean? Are you an evangelical now about what running can do? Because there is a lot of people who are like the grit doctor.
I try not to be. I mean, I suppose I am when it comes to exercise and eating well. So what I try and get across is in the book is that you have to take responsibility for yourself. And once you do that, everything else sort of falls into place. Like nobody put me in that position but me. So once I knew that, then only I could get out of it. And once I took responsibility for that, everything kind of changed.
So are you saying that the changes that you made to both in terms of exercise with the running and diet, that they kind of unlocked something in you? They unlocked some potential in you?
Yes, they did. I mean, I know for a lot of people, like they think, oh God, I couldn't run. I'll never run. I was that person. And running isn't for everybody. It was just easiest for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it totally unlocked. It unlocked like whatever little cocoon I was putting myself in.
Yeah. A lot of people are. Somebody else is saying this. I said, Ciara, please remember, running works for some people, not everyone. It's unhelpful to say it makes you feel better. It's like saying green tea cures depression. Except for there is lots of evidence that shows that exercise is really helpful for mood lifting. It actually is as effective as in moderate depression as antidepressants. So we know exercise has a benefit. And someone else says, Ciara, will you ask your guest, tell them I'm morbidly obese. I went through a couple of tough years and I'm a stress eater and I'd love an exercise plan on a budget. Things are very tight for me. The problem is I have plantar fasciitis, which makes it difficult to spend time on my feet. Can you recognise exercise? I would still say you can probably walk, and walking is gentler than running. And you can actually get a tennis ball and roll the hell out of the underside of your feet, and that helps with your plantar fasciitis. But look, Jonathan, it's a great and simple plan. And how's the book going? The Plant Based Runner, is it selling well?
It's going fabulous at the moment. Yeah, I hope it keeps up. It's going terrific.
Well, look, the very best of luck with it. Thank you for coming in. That is Jonathan Kearns, the author of The Plant Based Runner, How He Changed His Life with Running. A lot of people getting in touch saying that they have done something similar, and it seems to me running is a real diffusing thing for lots of people. And his book is available in all good bookstores at the moment. Our winner today is Miriam Cunningham in Strand Hill, Sligo. She answered correctly Berkeley, France, and Miriam wins the tickets to Thrive, the festival, and the overnight stay at the Alex. Stay tuned all this week for more chances to win. I'm afraid that is all we have time for, though, today on Lunchtime Live. Thank you so much. Huge engagement on all the things we talked about, and I really do love to talk to you, as you know. My thanks, obviously, to the team, Michael Culligan on sound, Claire Darmody, Emma Cawley, Claire O'Dowd, and Ciara Courtney today. And Moncrief is up next, do stay tuned. But for me, Ciara, have a great day. Thank you for listening.